Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Recently, potential GOP presidential candidate Jeb Bush, who had been, I guess you could say, probably on the more conservative side of his opposition to same-sex marriage, is eyeing the White House. And with that in mind, often what happens is the candidate reevaluates his position on controversial issues. He appears to have done so now. He says that we ought to simply recognize the legality of same-sex marriage and everybody should be nice to each other, more or less. That's what he's saying. And this is being called a change in tenor. It's being called a real shift that may help him secure at least his party's nomination for the White House. Joining us to react to this statement and to the shift in policy from Jeb Bush, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
On Monday, Jeb Bush delivered a statement when he was being asked by the press about his new tone on same-sex marriage. He said, "We live in a democracy, and regardless of our disagreements, we have to respect the rule of law. I hope that we can also show respect for the good people on all sides of the gay and lesbian marriage issue, including couples making lifetime commitments to each other who are seeking greater legal protections and those of us who believe marriage is a sacrament and want to safeguard religious liberty." I'm wondering, I just remember the recently deceased governor of New York, Mario Cuomo, when it was this about 20 years ago, talking about the abortion issue, bringing up its Catholic faith, saying, "Well, you know, I personally believe it's wrong. I'm personally opposed, but it ought to be legal. It's the law of the land. I can't impose my personal beliefs on anyone else." How is that statement any different from that of Jeb Bush's on same-sex marriage?
Well, I think Jeb Bush is following Mario Cuomo here. You know, I mean, the point is that Cuomo has blazed this path. It's now a well-trodden path. And, you know, now we have another Catholic politician, so-called Catholic politician, just strolling down that path as if it's no big deal to overthrow not only moral teaching, but also, in this case, obvious common sense. So there's nothing new, in a sense, in what Jeb Bush is saying. And he's signaling to everybody what kind of a candidate he's going to be and where he's going to take the Republican Party, if indeed he's the candidate.
So it sounds like he's trying to disconnect the issue of the legality of this. He's kind of saying, well, we need to accept the legality of same-sex marriage as a fait accompli and then get along with everybody from that point on.
Yes, and what that really means is that I'm running to become the chief executive of the United States of America, and I have no opinion about what the law should actually be. Elect me, because I have no opinions about what should or should not be legal. You know, I mean, that's lame, and he's really signaling that he doesn't want to talk about this issue, that what he really means to do is to accept the terms of the debate as they have been presented to us by the sexual revolutionaries. And he's saying that if he's the candidate for the Republican Party, that you can count on the Republican Party basically abandoning the marriage issue and probably the other social issues as well. I mean, that's what this is all code for. We, the mandarins of the Republican Party, are fed up with this messy talk about social issues. We don't want to talk about it anymore. We don't want to deal with it anymore. It's frankly a little embarrassing for us. And so I'm looking for an easy way out, so that I don't have to talk about it anymore. That's what I think Jeb Bush is doing. And I think that is symptomatic of the political classes and the elite classes of this culture since the very beginning of the culture war, since the very beginning of the sexual revolution, Todd. The way it looks to me looking back over 50 years, is that the whole of the sexual revolution has been a movement of the elites to create a sexual culture where they get to do anything they want and where the legal consequences and the natural consequences of human sexual activity, which sometimes includes babies, that we're not going to mess our hands with that anymore. We're not going to worry about the impact of our sexual conduct on children or on the people around us, because we don't have to. We want to create a world where we don't have to worry about any consequences to our sexual activity. And this is just, the gay marriage issue is just one more step in creating a world where sex is normatively sterile. And therefore, it kind of makes sense to say that it's completely private. It's none of anybody's business, and let's get the law out of it. So that's where he's going. Now, I don't think he's conscious that that's where he's going. He's just trying to get these messy, difficult roadblocks out of his way so that he can be president and do whatever it is Republican presidents want to do.
So no one does this. No potential candidate for president of the United States issues a statement like this, especially in light of his previous position, which was a little firmer against same-sex marriage. Nobody does this in a political vacuum. He obviously believes that he has to do this, or is better off doing this if he wants to win. He's done the math and decided that defending traditional marriage is a loser.
Yeah. And the reason he's decided that, I'm guessing, is not based on calculating votes and potential supporters and so on. What he's calculating is money. I would be astonished if there was any other calculation going on behind here. That the people who control the money flowing in and out of politics are people who couldn't give a rip about the sexual issues and the harm that the sexual issues are doing to the average person of America. You know, the average person who has to pay their bills, who has to work for a living, you know, who gets to see their kids at the end of the day, at the end of a work day, who's struggling to make ends meet, that average person, when there's sexual chaos in that person's life, it's a mess. If you're Jeb Bush, if you are Paul Singer, if you are Bill Gates, if you are Warren Buffett, there can be all kinds of sexual things going on in your life, and you can buy your way out of any trouble that you might have for yourself. And so that whole class of people, whether they're political elites or intellectual elites or whatever, I'm not saying they're all messing around themselves, but I am saying that they don't get it. They do not see the impact that the sexual revolution has had on the average person. And so, therefore, they just can't figure out what the big deal is, you know. So with the redefining marriage, what we're about to do is to basically write gender out of the law. We're basically saying marriage is a genderless institution that has nothing particular to do with children. Children's rights to know their biological origins, we're writing that out of law. You know, that's what we're on the verge of doing. And what Jeb Bush is saying to us all is that he intends to not look at that side of the issue at all. He's going to look at it the way the gay lobby handlers want everybody to look at it, and not consider any of the other issues that are, in fact, in play if you remove the gender requirement for marriage. So that's the bigger picture of what's going on here. And it's all being driven by money. I doubt very seriously that Jeb Bush has had a deep, serious change of heart here. I think, as you suggest, it's a calculation about what it's going to take for him to run a campaign. The people who have enough money to help him run a campaign are people who like the sexual revolution very much, just fine, thank you very much. And they really are not concerned about the fallout, the continued fallout from the sexual revolution.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is our guest. We're talking about potential GOP presidential candidate Jeb Bush's statement on same-sex marriage recently. When we come back, her reaction to that as coming from a Roman Catholic politician. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com. thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star, shine with thy bright across the light of
God. Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The praise team is like a two-headed monster. It doesn't know whether it is an accompanist to help the congregation sing its praise or whether it's a performer to form on behalf of the congregation.
If I've got a good guy who has a preaching gift and I work with him and I pour good theology into him and I help him try it, maybe I'm going to give him a little pulpit or a bigger pulpit or maybe even the pulpit.
Without what Jesus did at the cross, I would argue that you cease to have Christianity.
Luther said, if the Lord had said, I will put forgiveness into this grass or in this dung, I would gladly go eat it. But he hasn't. He has said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood.
We see how he levels things in vocation and how he uses every job in order to provide us and our neighbors with daily bread.
1 hour from now, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. This first live week back on Issues Etc., we have assembled the best soundbites, that is, those that got the highest number of votes every time we played Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Five of them we have selected, the five highest vote getters, and we have brought them together. So in the last half hour of the program today, we can play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year with you. We've got five soundbites. We're going to play them. All you need to do is give us a call and vote. And the listener with the best vote will not only receive the LPR bundle package, and I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. We give that away every time we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The listener with the best vote will also receive every one of the Issues Etc. books of the month for 2014, in addition to the LPR bundle package. That's for having the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year, 1 hour from now, live this Friday afternoon, January the 9th. In the meantime, we're talking to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute about potential GOP presidential candidate Jeb Bush's recent statement on same-sex marriage. I wonder what you think about this, Jennifer, as a Roman Catholic, whether it's a former Governor Cuomo on abortion, I'm personally opposed, but a Roman Catholic politician, or Jeb Bush, who's also a Roman Catholic, on same-sex marriage, I'm personally opposed. But what's your reaction to those positions as a Catholic?
it's embarrassing. Frankly, it's embarrassing. I mean, we want politicians who will have some thought, who will give some thought to issues, and who have some understanding of the issues, and to say, I'm personally opposed, but I'm politically in favor of, is to say, I don't really understand what the church's teaching is all about. Because if you really understood what the church's teaching is all about, you couldn't be personally opposed to abortion, but somehow in favor of it in public life. You would see that abortion on demand is bad public policy for a whole bunch of reasons. You'd be able to see and articulate and understand that abortion on demand is bad public policy. And therefore, as a Catholic and as a person with a functioning brain in my head, I'm going to oppose abortion on demand. That's what Catholic politicians ought to say. That's what Catholic voters ought to demand Catholic politicians and their Catholic leaders. And likewise with the current issue having to do with the redefinition of marriage. We should be able to say, you know, look, removing a gender requirement for marriage is going to be bad public policy. It's going to undermine the connection between children and their parents. It's going to say that parenthood is something not natural, but something created by the state, and that can be recreated by the state. And that's not going to be good public policy. There's going to be many things following in the train of that that I'm not going to like, that you're not going to like, and that people who care about the poor, people who care about the marginalized, people who care about the weak, they're not going to like the final outcome that's going to be created by removing the gender requirement from marriage. But Catholic politicians don't know how to say that, refuse to say that, and so here we all are with these, you know, frankly, knuckleheads wandering around pretending that they're somehow deep and thoughtful by making this crazy distinction. And to me, they're just saying, I haven't thought about this very much, and it sounds like a good idea. Yeah, let's roll with it so we can get on to talking about the things we really want to talk about, which is taxes or immigration or whatever it is they want to really talk about, you know. But they refuse to really engage the fact that the church has been right on social issues, and that there are millions of people who join the Catholic Church, because of the church's position on these issues. Why are they doing that? They're doing it because the church is the only person who will really listen to them and who will see that we're all being lied to by the sexual revolutionaries.
If the Republican establishment sells out on the issue of same-sex marriage, will there be any pushback, do you think?
I don't think, honestly, I don't think it's a question of if. I think it's a question of when. I think the Republican establishment is going to sell out on the issue of the definition of marriage. I think they're in the process of doing it. They're trying to do it gracefully and saving some face, I suppose. But then the question is for people like your listeners and people like the constituents of the Ruth Institute and those of us who believe that marriage is the proper context for both childbearing and for sexual activity. Those of us who hold those ancient Christian teachings, the question is, what are we going to do next? Because the kind of pushback that we're in a position to give as ordinary citizens, as individual voters, it's not significant enough, I don't think, to overcome the amount of power that the money people have. So we have to have some alternative means of making ourselves heard and of recreating this culture that don't require us to somehow outspend people who are billionaires and who are putting all their money into these issues, you know. And so I think on the marriage side, we're trying to figure out what that's going to consist of. How do we build a culture of marriage? How do we educate people? How do we help people? How do we create a space wherein people can live out a decent and wholesome and satisfying lifetime married love? How do we do that when the state is against us? And the pro-life movement has had about 40 years to try to figure that out, and they've had some successes in that arena, and some disappointments, obviously. But that's kind of where we are, I think. I think we have to redirect our attention. It's not that we retreat from the field; it's that we look for a field of endeavor where we have some chance of being successful and taking some ground. And so that's why the Ruth Institute is spending a lot of its energy dealing with the sexual revolution more generally and not just with the question of the definition of marriage, because a lot of people have been harmed by the sexual revolution and they haven't been able to connect the dots between what's happened to them in their own lives and these public policies that we believe are really misguided.
Fred Sines of the Human Rights Campaign is quoted in the Washington Post piece on Jeb Bush's change of heart here on same-sex marriage as saying that Republicans for years have talked about same-sex marriage with a negative tone, but Bush put that paradigm on its head. Quote, he provides people with a sense that he understands that there are loving gay couples who are, in fact, getting married. What's your response?
Well, that's the gay spin machine. That's all that is. I mean, you know, he's taking your attention away from the issues that are seriously in play here. That is, do children have a right to their own parents? And what is the meaning of marriage? And why does society need marriage? He's taking everybody's attention away from that and simply looking at the two loving poster child people that they have in front of you. That you're supposed to be sympathetic with. And that's the only thing you're allowed to think about, okay? You're not allowed to think about or consider any other aspect to the issue. And so what he's calling positive versus negative, I call paying attention versus not paying attention. You know, he's got everybody's attention focused on particular aspects of this question. And all these other issues, he's absolutely committed to nobody ever bringing up any other topic. And now the Republican Party is going to help him avoid all of those other topics.
If you were asked to consult legislative candidates on how to make the simple case in the public square for natural marriage, what would you say to them?
Well, what I would say to them is that children really do need their mother and their father, and children have a right to their mother and their father, and a decent society should have as its default position that every child is entitled to be born into a household where they have access to both their mother and their father on a full-time basis. And that means man-woman marriage. Man-woman marriage is the institution that keeps the government out of the family, and it's the institution that keeps children attached to their parents. And if somebody were to say, well, what about divorce? What about single parents? What about all these other things we've already allowed? I would say, you are quite correct. We should not be encouraging, endorsing, and simply blithely accepting all of these other ways in which children are separated from their parents. We should be taking responsible steps to cultivate, whether legally or socially or through the media and the arts and all the other tools that are available to us, we should be cultivating the image that children are entitled to both of their parents. And if that means saying, they're creating a movie where the divorced characters regret their divorce, then that's, by golly, what we ought to be doing.
Folks, be sure to bookmark and read the blog and the website for the Ruth Institute this year. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're very welcome, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to do This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. Talk a little bit about megachurch pastor Perry Noble. He was supposed to be approaching his Christmas sermon like the Super Bowl. We'll see how he did this Christmas. Stay tuned.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things: the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us: broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.